Thankful that Brother Dan, I'm going to ask him just a moment to tell. There was someone saved over in the service he was in, and we thank God that the gospel story is still just as powerful as it was when you got saved. And we're praying regularly that more and more people come to faith in Christ as we go out and bring them in. But here we are tonight on our Equip series. We started last week, and this Equip series, we felt led of the Lord to cover the subject of the gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, how He works in our lives, and the gifts that everybody gets one. Some have more than that. The gifts of the Spirit, these are, as Brother Dan mentioned last week, these are not talents. These are just not what you've always been good at. These are gifts of the Spirit, and we're continuing now tonight for another couple weeks about on this Equip series, because I believe it's so important for our church to know how vitally important it is to be engaged in the work that the Holy Spirit has gifted you and I in different ways to minister. And so, Brother Dan, would you come and preach to us, and everybody be ready to listen, and I know it'll be a great, great blessing to you. Brother Dan.
Philemon, many of you know Philemon and Merari. He called me and he said, "Brother Dan, not trying to tell you what to do, but it sure would be nice if you spoke on salvation tomorrow morning." He said, "There's some family that I'm inviting to church, and I've been inviting them for some time. They decided to come, and I would sure love for you to talk about salvation." I said, "I can do that." And so what I thought about immediately when he said that, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart about teaching them how to lead someone to Christ. And so that's what we did. Miss Diana gave a good testimony, and we had some time with her, and she told us all about what she did and everything, and they really enjoyed that. And of course, the relationship that she had with Mrs. Garst down there and everything, of course, they could relate to that. And then after that, we just delved right into leading someone to Christ. And as I was teaching them how to lead someone to Christ, Araceli was sitting over here. She's 20 years old, Philemon's sister. And the Holy Spirit was just squeezing her heart real good. And then we got to the end and we prayed. And she just, in front of God and everybody, just started praying, "Dear Lord, come into my heart. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin," out loud in front of everybody. And she asked Christ to come into her heart. So praise the Lord for that. And if you have your Bibles tonight, 1 Corinthians, take your Bibles and let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Last Sunday night, we had a great time in laying out the groundwork for what we're going to see the next couple Sunday nights. And I know that we threw a lot at you. Hopefully, if you didn't have an opportunity to be here, you were able to get a hold of the notes from last night or last Sunday night. But we spoke about the gifts of the Spirit. And we defined the nature of the spiritual gift as a spiritual gift being a supernatural, not necessarily miraculous, but just a supernatural enablement that is bestowed upon every believer at salvation from Christ by the Holy Spirit for the purpose of edifying the body of Christ. And if you took nothing away from last Sunday night, my prayer is that you were able to capture what God has defined a spiritual gift to be. And He specifically said it, and we read those verses, where every individual at the moment of salvation, you're given the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. And with that Holy Spirit, you're also given at least one spiritual gift to be used in the body. That is to exercise within the body of Christ. And I hope that you were able to capture that. If you are not exercising your spiritual gift within the body, we also talked about how the body inevitably suffers by you not exercising your spiritual gift. And I don't say that to be mean. I don't say that to point anybody out. Many, Many perhaps did not know that that is the case, but that is in fact biblically the case. And so I would exhort you as a brother in Christ, as a fellow body member, please exercise your gift within the body so that we all can benefit from that. And you will benefit from us exercising our spiritual gift. So we talked about the nature of the spiritual gifts. We talked about the classification, how that some were given to convey new revelation and divine information. Certain gifts were given to be miraculous sign gifts to confirm those revelatory gifts and to reveal the identity and the authority of the apostles of the early church. But then we also talked about how that some of those gifts, they're no longer needed in that the Bible is complete now. And so what we have is complete. Not one thing needs to be added to it. So there no longer needs to be that new revelation. It's self-authenticating, and it is sufficient for all evangelism of unbelievers and the edification of believers. Then we talked about how that certain gifts were service gifts. And those are the ones that we will be focusing on primarily in our study over the next couple weeks. And we also spoke about the misuse of some of the gifts. And we talked about that briefly. And then we ended last Sunday evening speaking about the diversity of the spiritual gifts, which leads us into the lesson tonight. There are approximately 20 gifts that are listed in Scripture. And we listed those passages, and hopefully you had an opportunity to read those at home in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But we begin with that first gift mentioned in Scripture, and that is the gift of apostleship. Apostleship. These were official delegates or representatives, or some would say proxies of Jesus Christ, who were given at that time absolute and total authority to speak His words. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28, "And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues." And it says that there. Now, so that we're not confused, if anybody comes to you, and there are people today that claim to be apostles, and you can look at them square in the eyeball, or if you want to focus right in the center, right in between their eyes, and you can, with confidence, point out the fact that it is not possible for them to be an apostle in today's economy. Why? Because the qualification for an apostle is an apostle had to have personally seen the resurrected Christ. And as far as I know, everyone in this room has yet to personally see the resurrected Christ. Some of us will get ahead of the others, but hopefully I can say with confidence, and I hope no one in this room claims that they have seen the resurrected Christ. If you do, I'd like to know your age. Amen. And so it's been a while. It's been about 2,000 years since somebody has seen that. The second qualification was an apostle had to possess an extraordinary miracle working power given to him specifically by God. So you had to have personally seen with your own eyes the resurrected Christ, and then you were given that power. Right in our passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." It says, here. And so I meant 2 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians. I read in 1 Corinthians. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll look at verse 12 in 2 Corinthians 12. The Bible says this: "Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." And mighty deeds. So there you have it. There you have it. And the passage that you would go to, and if I believe I put this in your notes, Acts 1:22, to have personally seen resurrected Christ, and 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 1. So that is the gift of apostleship. That is not a gift for today. Number two, the gift of prophecy. Take your Bibles and go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. The Bible says, "To another, the working of miracles; to another, prophecy; to another, discerning of spirits," and so on, and it continues. So you have that gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy was the supernatural enablement to receive and then to proclaim revelatory truths, especially about the future and judgment for sin. That is supernatural enablement to receive from God and then to proclaim a revelatory truth, especially about the future and also judgment for sin. It also, the gift of prophecy, is a supernatural enablement to proclaim biblical truths, especially concerning judgment for sin. The one definition is different than the other. The one was given at the time in order to receive and then proclaim these truths. How many remember the story of Jonah? Jonah was given a message from the Lord. He took that message from the Lord, and he was to have gone to Nineveh. He took a slight detour that made him very uncomfortable. And then once he got his heart right with God, he went on to deliver that message. And that message was specifically for the people. And we learn there, the book of Jonah is a great missionary story and mission story, in that he goes, as he was told, finally, and God had prepared the hearts of the people to receive what he had to say. He was worried for nothing. Now you say, well, worried for nothing, they were some bad people, and they had a bad reputation, and that is why he fled from going to Nineveh in the first place. But once he got there, listen, this was a message directly from God. And as preachers of the gospel of Christ, as proclaimers of the gospel of Christ, we cannot be worried about the message. The word is the word. And if we preach the word as we should and we proclaim it, God will prepare the hearts for those to receive. My responsibility is not how you respond. I do not control how you respond to the proclaimed word of God. My responsibility is to proclaim truth, and according to the word of God, all truth. And we've heard that before. So you have the gift of prophecy. Now, the next gift, gift number three, the gift of miracles. Literally what it meant is powers. The supernatural enablement to perform signs that superseded the natural laws of the universe. This gift may have also had special significance for the ministry of casting out demons. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, we see, "To another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles." So you have the miracles mentioned here. That was a gift that was given and it was a supernatural enablement to perform signs that went above and beyond the natural laws of the universe. And then we get to gift number four, healings. And I'm moving along. Our time is short, and we have a lot to cover. And so I need to get to this one here, the gift of healings. The supernatural enablement, and this is very important, which is why I added it to the notes, to heal anyone of any ailment, any illness, any injury, at will, including death, in response to a word or touch. And here's a real kicker, with or without faith on the part of the one being healed. This is a very complete definition of what biblical healing was. If you ever have a question, this gift was temporary. But the power of God to heal in answer to prayer was not and is not. It is for today. The power of God to heal is for today. Very important. Now, some are concerned that all this denies God's power to heal. To the contrary, it simply means that you must no more go through a faith healer for healing than you must go through a priest for confession. Divine healing is for today, but divine healers are not. If anybody tells you that for a nominal fee or for some kind of an accommodation, they can take care of your ailment, I'm not talking about a chiropractor and I'm not talking about a doctor, but I'm talking about a divine healer or a so-called divine healer, run as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man. Okay? Run. Divine healers are not for today. This was an enablement that God gave some of these guys, some of these disciples and apostles, and they were able to perform these miracles, but it was for that time as a sign gift. How then does one explain the healings which are so often claimed under the ministry of modern faith healers? And many have that question. There are some things that happen that leave you scratching your head and wondering, well, now, wait a minute, that looks real. That looks real. So keep this in mind, and I've listed a couple numbers there. Number one, some are pure fraud. And I said it. Some are pure fraud. That's what they are. The proven and admitted cases of out-and-out fraud among the faith healing movement has been rampant throughout its entire history. So keep that in mind. Number two, some are psychosomatic cures of mere psychosomatic illnesses. Faith healers tend to have about the same percentage of cure rates as do sugar pills and placebos. I said it, and it's the truth. Number three, some are merely temporary psychological, emotional, or hypnotic cures of genuine ailments, which sadly return once the emotional excitement or the power of suggestion fades. You cannot tell me that the mind over matter doesn't work. I remember a time as an illustration where we heard a scream, and I say we, my wife and I, heard a scream from the front of the house where the carport was. We were on the mission field, and this scream came from our first and only child. And it was one of those screams that you knew that you needed to get there yesterday. He needed help right then. Carmen passed me in the hallway. She beat me to it. I thought I was fast. And then I watched her do this. I watched her take a solid, it wasn't solid, but it was a cedar gate. And I'm talking a gate that's big enough to close for a car, like a garage. She picked it up and she threw it to the side. And then I tried to move it more, and I could not. And at that moment, you've heard the stories, because a mom hears a baby cry and it's her baby. She can do some amazing things. Now, there's some things that our mind can do as well, and sometimes that happens. The tragedy is these victims of faith healers are then further victimized by being told that they lost their healing because of their sinful lack of faith, which is really sad. Number four, some healings may even be demonic. I've personally witnessed in a church service someone come in that was possessed. And you say, boy, I bet that was neat. No, it's not. And it's very interesting because the spirit within you does not coincide with the spirit with this individual. Some of you may be able to relate to this. And we were finishing up the song service. My dad played an accordion. We played some guitars, and we were leading music. And as we were finishing up, my dad, as he often would do, sometimes he would talk instruction to us while the song service is going on. So he's playing, and I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to be very transparent. He said this in English. We were in Mexico, and we pray to God that nobody understood. But my dad is, and we're singing the song, and he said, watch that bird, like that. That's literally what he said, watch that bird. And then when he put his accordion down, he said, I need somebody to go sit by him. So I did. And I went and sat by him, and then my dad proceeded to pray before he started preaching. And while he was praying, this individual started praying beside him. And as he was praying, his prayer turned into a known language, and it went into an unknown language. And it wasn't Spanish, because I knew that one. And I knew English. It wasn't English either. And so I reached over, and I tapped his leg, and I said, hey, we're just going to let the preacher pray, okay? And he says, oh, I'm just praying. I said, I know. I said, but we're going to let the preacher pray. And so preacher kept praying, and he started praying again, moving his lips, making sounds, and I wasn't understanding, and I reached over and I grabbed his leg a little harder and I squeezed it. I said, we're going to let the preacher pray. And so he says, man, I'm praying. I said, I understand that, but I said, we're going to let him pray. I did it one more time, and this time I really cranked down on it. I said, we just need to hush and let him pray. You say, well, Brother Dan, at the moment, how did you do that? I don't know. But the Holy Spirit of God will give you that strength to do it when you need it. He's bigger than I was. I was just a kid. And so I said, because your spirit that abides in you is greater than the spirit that abides in those types of individuals. Trust me on that one. We went to visit him, and he described how he had been through every single plague mentioned in Scripture. And he described how he felt, and he described the different things that Satan himself had put him through. And so when I describe this stuff to you, we're very sheltered here in the United States and in many places, and most of us grew up in good Christian homes, and that's a wonderful thing, and we've been sheltered from that, but there's some of us that could tell you some stories, and it's a real thing. So you have some healings. You say, well, does Satan have power? Yes, he does. He does have power, but he doesn't have near the power that a believer has within them, because they have within them the third part of the Trinity, which is God himself. Amen? So we don't fear that. We don't tremble. We don't get nervous. We don't treat it lightly. It's not something that you treat lightly, but it's not something you fear. Some healings may even be demonic. Some may be genuine healings brought by God in response to the faith and prayers of the one seeking the healing. And the presence of a faith healer does not prevent God from healing, but neither does it help. You have some of that too. They could be present and they are locked into God, and it just so happens that this guy is taking advantage of the situation, and it worked out good for him. and that happens too. Many or some healings may even possibly be related to the gift of faith, which involves supernatural trust to pray and believe God for great things rather than to be the gift of healing. And then many so-called healings result in no change in pain or in symptoms. And we can get into, I do not have the time to do this, but we can get into the fact that those seeking healing in the Word Faith movement, they're taught to continually confess that they are healed even though they are still sick. They teach them these things. And it is believed that their words have divine power to create reality and healing, since their theology actually teaches that they are little gods. So they believe this stuff. And they can convince themselves. How many have been exposed to somebody that has told enough lies in their life that they start believing their own lies? They can create a whole scenario of how they grew up and different things like that. And they tell themselves this so much for so long that they themselves believe this. The real question, and this is what I wanted to get at before we finish. The real question is, how do today's faith healers explain their lack of verifiable healings? How do the so-called healers explain the fact that, in spite of all of their grandiose claims, when asked for evidence for outside verification, they inevitably fail to produce verifiable healings? Recently, one of the most prominent healing ministries was asked for examples to be verified by outside physicians, and it produced three examples, none of which turned out to have been actually healed. Another ministry often boasted of its greatest healing example, a woman healed of blindness, but upon examination, it was discovered that the woman was before and still is today legally blind. So how do today's healers explain why their ministries fall so short of the gift of healings in the New Testament? Why do long lines of disappointed seekers leave today's healing meetings still sick? Why are the really hard cases not only not healed, but kept off the stage altogether by those that pre-screen? And in the New Testament, we read of great miracles and the multitudes who came and they were healed. And check this out, of every one of every disease. We read that in Scripture. No illness, not even death, was beyond the power of those who had the true gift that God had specifically given them to heal. Today's healers boast that they can knock down the living, but why can they not raise up the dead? Why is it that you can't go and bring them? If I had that gift, think about this. If you had this gift, would you not go to the hospital and just start dishing it out? Why not? Why not? And the fact that all or even most claims of healing cannot be genuine is also seen in the fact that many of the most prominent healers have been and are heretics of the fundamental truths of the Christian faith. So let's not get taken up, and I won't take the time here, but I have a list of names. Some of them you've heard, some of them you're familiar with, that claim that they can do this, but every single one of them have been proven, and I would not, in a public setting, I would not explain it to you about their lives and what kind of a wreck their lives are, spiritually speaking. Well, we started, didn't we? And we're into number 4 of 20. Next week, come back. And we will talk about the gift of knowledge and wisdom and discerning of spirits and giving and exhortation and so on. And we'll delve into that a little bit more. This is the nuts and bolts of it. it's not near as fun as much as talking about like the first laying down the groundwork. But I can tell you this, we're headed somewhere with this. And this is what I expect to happen. As we go down through and we eliminate some of these gifts that were given by God to the apostles or to the disciples, or they were gifts that were specifically given for a specific time, once we eliminate those and we get down to these service gifts, what you're going to find out is you're going to discover that, oh my, this might be something that God can use me in. And then you're going to find out that there are some of the gifts, of the spiritual gifts that are given that aren't necessarily seen, or you, when, for example, the gift of faith. It is a true spiritual gift. Well, how do you set up a table in the gym for the gift of faith? Sign up for the gift of faith. This is where you can exercise your gift of faith. So there's some gifts, the gift of giving, for example. There's some that are, man, they'll just shell it out. And they'll even shell out things that are not theirs. I mean, they just give it all away. Some are blessed with that gift. Some are not. Some of us are wound pretty tight. And it's not our spiritual gift. And some of those gifts are not visible. So keep that in mind as we go through this. I'm looking forward to next Sunday night to be able to finish up this. We're going to do 16 gifts next Sunday night. So come braced for a speedy lesson on that. And then the last Sunday night, you and I are going to take a gifts test right here in the auditorium in front of God and everybody. And but just know this, this test is for you. It's for no one else but you. And the answers are for you. And it won't take long. We'll just go down through there. And then after that, we're going to go into the gym. There's going to be some tables set up. And hopefully our plan and our goal and our desire is that you would find your spiritual gift that God has given you, or gifts. Some and most have many. You'll find out those gifts and you'll be able to exercise those gifts within the body. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And I know this is not a time necessarily of an invitation like we're normally accustomed to. But our prayer tonight is this, and this would be the invitation tonight as the piano and organ begin to play. Would you do this favor? And again, I'm reluctant to even say this, but I'm asking as a fellow believer, I'm asking as part of the body of Christ, I'm asking as a member of the body of Christ that needs your gift so that I can better serve the Lord. Would you pray tonight, and would you ask the Lord to help you realize and acknowledge and find out and discover your spiritual gift as we go through this? And then as you pray and as you ask the Lord, Lord, I want you to show me what mine is. If you don't know already, would you then make a commitment to the Lord? Lord, to the best of my ability, I want to use my gift within the body, because I know that you gave me that gift so that I can edify the body of Christ. Will you help me with that, Lord? Will you pray that tonight as the invitation continues?
Well, as they continue to play, and we got a lot of great information and going to get more, I believe that our cry tonight would be, Lord, we want to be used in your service. And if you've gifted me with something, a spiritual gift, then I certainly want to get utilizing it in the body of Christ. And so maybe all of us, as Brother Dan had mentioned, we could be involved in this invitation by speaking to the Lord and telling him, Lord, I do want to use that. So, Lord, if you'll show me, over these next few weeks. And Lord, I want to engage in it because I want all of us to be equipped. That's what this lesson series is called, Equipped to Serve. We're not trying to trick anybody into it. We're not trying to twist any arms. We're certainly not trying to get more people signed up just for having people signed up to help in some ministry. But I want to be engaged in what God has gifted me to do so that when I get to heaven, I'll know that I hit the mark, so to speak. And I believe that's your cry as well. And I trust that you do business with the Lord. But we never like to close a service only asking Christians to respond. Perhaps you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. We talk about the spiritual gifts, the Holy Spirit gifting us. But if you've got something going on in your heart right now and almost as if a knocking or a urging, a pleading to do something about your soul, that's also the Holy Spirit convicting you, showing that you need to quit putting on an act. Maybe you need to quit caring what people think and you just need to turn from all those opinions and whatnot and turn to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to ask you, if you're able to stand together with me as they continue to play one more verse. If God's spoken to your heart and you need to come, I invite you to do that. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, thank you, Brother Dan. Thank you for that great teaching and preaching, and what a joy it is. I hate to get you up and down, but will you sit down? I guess I don't hate it too bad, or I wouldn't do it, I suppose. But I wanted to remind you, Brother Bobby will be meeting with those interested in helping with the Harvest Party, and perhaps you said, I haven't signed up yet. You can still go down to the Blue Room, the Berean Classroom, just right down the hall. And I know that they will go over some useful things that can have you best use. It was such a wonderful event last year, and we want to reach even more this year. We want to expose people to the church. We want to get the gospel to them, and we want to let people have a good time as well, the children. So I challenge you to be a part of that if you're at all able to. Well, I just wanted to meet with you as a church family just for a couple minutes to tell you a couple things. Brother Danny's going to come here in a moment. I'd like for our church to vote on something. But I want to share with you a couple things that don't involve any money, except money we've already voted on. I'm talking about the ministry house right over here. We are so looking forward to when God allows that to get finished, but we're coming along great on it. I hope that you've been able to stop by. Many of you have, and you've been able to go through. We're going to try here in a couple weeks to have a construction open house. It won't be all the way done, but enough that you can come through. They put the flooring down. They're finishing up painting, and it's looking so beautiful. We are so much looking forward to using it for missionaries as they come through, but then also other ministry ideas. We've got some things already on the books, or on the plans rather, to get in there with some groups of some smaller groups of the church to get over there and use it. So we're looking forward to it. The inside will be done soon. The outside will take us a little bit longer. You see that the dirt's being moved and we've got to do some concrete work and different things, but we are getting in the home stretch, and I'm so looking forward to using it. And then upstairs, I want to let you know what's going on up there. We are moving ahead, but I need you to pray that we can move ahead faster. We so long for that whole Ridge Kids area that's upstairs in this building right there. All the upstairs going to be so beautiful. I hope you've got through to see what's done so far, but it's taking a long time, but we are moving forward, and I want you to pray that it moves faster and we can get it done, because I so look forward to opening that up and using it and having families come up there and have their children educated. And it's so important. We're reminded in the last days, even the last few days, of how important it is. We're not entertaining people when they come. We're not just pacifying or babysitting them. We are teaching the Word of God on their level, and our children's ministry is so, so important. And I'm looking forward to that Ridge Kids area being done. And so pray for us. Pray to continue on, and we're looking forward to all of that. Well, those are just a couple things I want to share with you. But I also wanted Brother Danny to come. He's going to go over a missions item. And I'll just tell a little bit about what he's going to introduce to you. There's a pastor or a preacher that doesn't pastor church right now, but is involved in missions, 1040 ministries. And he is going to take a missions trip. He's been on several trips, training, teaching, preaching, equipping pastors in India. And you know, our church has been entrusted with some India fund that we can help missions in India. And Brother Danny's going to come and share with you a good opportunity that we have. So,
the pastor and the deacons recommend that we give Dr. Dave Yoder $15,000 for a training conference to Central India. This will come from the Rice Indian Fund, and I make this motion.